Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would turn to the Old Testament book of Micah. The book of Micah, it's one of the minor prophets. This is God's word. The word of the Lord that came to Micah the Moreshite. What he saw regarding Samaria and Jerusalem in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Listen, all you peoples, pay attention, earth and everyone in it. The Lord God will be a witness against you. The Lord from his holy temple. Look, the Lord is leaving his place and coming down to trample the heights of the earth. The mountains will melt beneath him, and the valleys will split apart like wax near a fire, like water cascading down a mountainside. All this will happen because of Jacob's rebellion and the sins of the house of Israel. What is the rebellion of Jacob? Isn't it Samaria? And what is the high place of Judah? Isn't it Jerusalem? Therefore, I will make Samaria a heap of ruins in the countryside, a planting area for a vineyard. I will roll her stones into the valley and expose her foundations. All her carved images will be smashed to pieces. All her wages will be burned in the fire, and I will destroy all her idols. Since she collected the wages of a prostitute, they will be used again for a prostitute. Because of this, I will lament and wail. I will walk barefoot and naked. I will howl like the jackals and mourn like ostriches. For her wound is incurable and has reached even Judah. It has approached my people's city gate as far as Jerusalem. Don't announce it in Gath. Don't weep at all. Roll in the dust in Beth Lephra. Depart in shameful nakedness, you residents of Shephir. The residents of Zanan will not come out. Beth Ezel is lamenting. Its support is taken from you. Though the residents of Maroth anxiously wait for something good, disaster has come from the Lord to the gate of Jerusalem. Harness the horses to the chariot, you residents of Lachish. This was the beginning of sin for daughter Zion. Because Israel's acts of rebellion can be traced to you. Therefore, send farewell gifts to Moresheth Gath. The houses of Achzib are a deception to the kings of Israel. I will again bring a conqueror against you who live in Marishah. The nobility of Israel will come to Adullam. Shave yourselves bald and cut off your hair in sorrow for your precious children. Make yourselves as bald as an eagle, for they have been taken from you into exile. Woe to those who dream up wickedness and prepare evil plans on their beds. At morning light they accomplish it, because the power is in their hands. They covet fields and seize them. They also take houses. They deprive a man of his home, a person of his inheritance. Therefore, the Lord says, I am now planning a disaster against this nation. You cannot free your necks from it. Then you will not walk so proudly, because it will be an evil time. In that day, one will take up a taunt against you and lament mournfully, saying, we are totally ruined. He measures out the allotted land of my people. How he removes it from me. He allots our fields to traitors. Therefore, there will be no one in the assembly of the Lord to divide the land by casting lots. Quit your preaching, they preach. They should not preach these things. Shame will not overtake us. House of Jacob, should it be asked, is the Spirit of the Lord impatient? Are these the things he does? Don't my words bring good to the one who walks uprightly? But recently my people have risen up like an enemy. You strip off the splendid robe from those who are passing through confidently, like those returning from war. You force the women of my people out of their comfortable homes, and you take my blessing from their children forever. Get up and leave, for this is not your place of rest, because defilement brings destruction, a grievous destruction. If a man comes and utters empty lies, I will preach to you about wine and beer, he would be just the preacher for this people. I will indeed gather all of you, Jacob. I will collect the remnant of Israel. I will bring them together like sheep in a pen, like a flock in the middle of its pasture. It will be noisy with people. One who breaks open the way will advance before them. They will break out, pass through the city gate, and leave by it. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord as their leader. Then I said, now listen, leaders of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel. Aren't you supposed to know what's just? You hate good and love evil. You tear off people's skin and strip their flesh from their bones. You eat the flesh of my people after you strip their skin from them and break their bones. You chop them up like flesh for the cooking pot, like meat in a cauldron. Then they will cry out to the Lord, but he will not answer them. He will hide his face from them at that time because of the crimes they have committed. This is what the Lord says concerning the prophets who lead my people astray, who proclaim peace when they have food to sink their teeth into, but declare war against the one who puts nothing in their mouths. Therefore, it will be night for you, without visions. It will grow dark for you, without divination. The sun will set on these prophets, and the daylight will turn black over them. Then the seers will be ashamed, and the diviners disappointed. They will all cover their mouths because there will be no answer from God. As for me, however, I am filled with power by the Spirit of the Lord, with justice and courage to proclaim to Jacob his rebellion and to Israel his sin. Listen to this, leaders of the house of Jacob. You rulers of the house of Israel who abhor justice and pervert everything that is right, who build Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with injustice. Her leaders issue rulings for a bribe. Her priests teach for payment, and her prophets practice divination for silver. Yet they lean on the Lord, saying, isn't the Lord among us? No disaster will overtake us. Therefore, because of you, Zion will be plowed like a field. Jerusalem will become ruins, and the temple's mountain will be a high thicket. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Last year, we had a wonderful time at the Blue Mountain Mist Country Inn in the Smoky Mountains, celebrating God's plan for marriage. A number of folks who attended last year said, when can we do this again? Well, we're doing it again. Starting on May 31st and ending Sunday, June 2nd, that's a wonderful weekend from Friday through Sunday, we're going to be having another marriage retreat at the Blue Mountain Mist Country Inn in Sevierville, Tennessee. And listeners can register by going to wvr.org. Just go to the website for the ranch, wvr.org.
marriageconference.org, and you'll find a registration link for the marriage conference in the top left of our homepage. The cost is just $4.99 per couple and includes lodging, 4 meals, and several teaching sessions throughout the weekend. I hope that you will sign up quickly so we know that those who said, yes, we'd like to do it again, really are coming back. But a bunch of you said, I wish I could have done that. Well, this is your chance. God bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
The prophet Micah, as is typical of the minor prophets, brings a word of warning, a word of judgment to a people who are still clinging to the fact that God is on their side, even though they are living a life that is in opposition to what God says. Despite the fact that the sins of the people were horrible, there were a bunch of paid professionals who held religious office, religious positions, prophets, priests, sages, leaders of the people, rulers of the people, who instead of confronting sin said, it's not a problem, okay? It's all right. God's on our side. We're the people of the Lord. We can do as we please. Let me tell you, that demonic lie is still playing today. It is widespread. People who think that because they invoke the name of the Lord, they can live any way they want. They can do things that God says are grievous. And it's okay. Because God is for us. God makes it very clear over and over and over in His Word. This is right. This is wrong. If you choose to rebel against God, there are tragic consequences. And so Micah comes, proclaiming the word of the Lord, and people try to shut him up. That was the typical response to God's word. Don't say that. Don't say that. That's offensive. Even when Jesus spoke against the hypocrisy of the religious leaders in his day, his own disciples would say to him on occasion, that really offended those people. As if Jesus didn't know. As if Jesus is supposed to go, oh, I'm sorry, I'll apologize. Jesus not only spoke the truth, he is the truth. And the response of the religious leaders to the truth was to crucify him. Because in our natural state, the unregenerate heart, the person who is not born again, is ultimately hostile toward the truth. He says here that while they rejected the truth, they would be very happy if somebody would just, and this is verse 11 of chapter 2, if a man comes and utters empty lies, saying, I will preach to you about wine and beer, he'd be just the preacher for this people. Okay? They just want to be entertained. They want to hear sermons, but they want to hear sermons that make them feel better about themselves so that they can do whatever they like to do, even if it is opposed to God. But there is a statement in here, if you want to have a key verse for this morning's three chapters. It's the last part of verse 10 in chapter 2. It says in verse 10 of chapter 2, get up and leave, for this is not your place of rest, because defilement brings destruction. Defilement brings destruction. Folks, let that sink in. Understand, that's what God says. The reason that God promises these people that he's going to bring destruction on them is because they have chosen, it's not because they slipped up, oops. It's because they chose to live a life of rebellion against God's word. To ignore what God says and to choose what is evil. In chapter 3, verse 2, you hate good and love evil. That's the problem. That is a description of our day. People who try to warn, God says this, are called haters. It's considered an evil thing to be intolerant. Defilement brings destruction. And those who warn of destruction are not killjoys. They're trying to rescue people from destruction. You understand? Please notice back in chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came to Micah, what he saw regarding Samaria and Jerusalem in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. It was over a period of time that the word of the Lord came to him. This is not something he made up. God spoke to him before God spoke through him. God caused him to see what was going on that other people weren't recognizing. This is the word of the Lord. The reason why the prophet has to proclaim his message is because it's God's message. And God says, proclaim this. And so, in obedience, Micah and the other minor prophets say what God tells them to say. But this is not their word. This is God's word. The word of the Lord that came to Micah. What he saw regarding Samaria and Jerusalem. Now look at verse 8. Here's his response when he sees that God is sending him out to warn of coming judgment. He says, because of this, I will lament and wail. I will walk barefoot and naked. I will howl like the jackals and mourn like ostriches. For her wound is incurable and has reached even Judah. It has approached my people's city gate as far as Jerusalem. He says, it tears me up. I don't like saying this because I don't like what God is saying. I'm not happy that God says destruction's coming, but I have to be faithful in giving you warning. God speaks through Micah a word of warning that destruction is coming because of persistent, chronic, intergenerational rebellion against God. And God is saying, I'm going to wipe out the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. It didn't happen at the same time. The northern kingdom went first, and it was brutal. The Assyrians came in, led those people out with hooks stuck through their flesh. And the southern kingdom said, wow. Seeing the wrath of God against the northern kingdom, well, that really makes us want to straighten up and do the right thing for about 5 minutes. Seeing God's wrath poured out on the northern kingdom did not bring lasting repentance in the south. Instead, they went right back into rebellion against God. God knew that was coming, and that's why he speaks through Micah and others as he did. So, defilement brings destruction. But even here, there is a promise of restoration. In chapter 2, despite the fact that God promises judgment, and despite the fact that God's word is rejected, God still has a plan. In chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, I will indeed gather all of you, Jacob. I will collect the remnant of Israel and bring them together like sheep in a pen, like a flock in the middle of its pasture. It'll be noisy with people. One who breaks open the way will advance before them. They will break out, pass through the city gate, and leave by it. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord as their leader. Now, did the people all get it? Did they understand? No. But God knew what he was going to do in the fact that one day Messiah would draw together those who are truly sons of Abraham because they share the faith of Abraham. He talks about the fact in chapter 3 that the prophetic visions of all the false prophets will be cut off. But he gives the contrast of what God is doing in his own life. And it's not a lack of humility. His boast is in the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 8, "As for me, however, I am filled with power by the Spirit of the Lord, with justice and courage to proclaim to Jacob his rebellion and to Israel his sin." If you don't think that it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to speak truth when the culture is coming in like a tidal wave of lies, then you have never tried it. The only way to stand against the lies of the enemy is to rely upon the power of God. And that power resides in all who are born again. Then the last part of chapter 3, again, talks about the fact that destruction is coming, and the reason is because people have embraced lies and despised the truth. Look at verse 9 through 12 of chapter 3. "Listen to this, leaders of the house of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice." That means you hate justice. You don't like it when things go the way they should. "And pervert everything that is right, who build Zion with bloodshed." In other words, your success is built on injustice. "Her leaders issue rulers for a bribe. Her priests teach for payment." In other words, I have had more preachers than I can count who have said to me, "I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you said that. Man, if I said that, I'd get fired." And my response is, then why don't you go ahead and say it? If it's the truth, preach it. If it's what the Bible says, say it. Because God's word is true. There will always be preachers who teach for payment. In other words, they'll say whatever people want to hear as long as they get a paycheck. And yet, lean on the Lord, saying, "Isn't the Lord among us? Isn't it grand to be a Christian? Isn't it grand?" No. "Because of you," he says, "Zion will be plowed like a field. Jerusalem will become ruins. And the temple's mountain will be a high thicket." Guess what? These folks didn't repent, and disaster came upon them. God says, learn from this. Don't repeat their mistakes. Learn from this. And if you are seeking to do what God says, realize he's not looking for an excuse to harm you. He's pleading with you to do the right thing because he wants to bless you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.